Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're thrilled to have you join our community. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or our guest speakers bring the Bible's timeless truths to life, offering messages that are not just inspiring, but deeply relevant to your daily journey. Whether you're joining us in Airdrie or tuning in from anywhere around the world, we hope these sermons encourage you, strengthen your faith, and help you feel more connected to Jesus and to us. Thanks for being part of our Hillside family. Let's grow together in faith and love. As family, we go.
Good morning, everyone. This, I think, is my fourth or possibly fifth time. Oilers jersey, nice. But back to my message. Thank you. Last summer, I talked about the book of Habakkuk, which is perhaps my favorite book in all of Scripture. And as soon as I was done, I immediately thought about, what do I want to talk about next time? Literally, I was still in this building, and I was already thinking about this moment right now. And what came to mind right away was this verse from the book of Psalms, Psalm 36, which reads, O Lord, you preserve both man and beast. How priceless is your unfailing love. Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. Now, when I read this verse, I just feel like taking a deep breath and sighing because it is so peaceful and so beautiful. Oh Lord, you preserve both man and beast. How priceless is your unfailing love. Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. This verse speaks of both God's great strength when it refers to God preserving both man and beast. And it speaks of his tender, never-ending love for each of us. I see this verse as balancing strength and power with gentleness and compassion. The verse perfectly describes the characteristics that I want in a father. How about you? Do you see your Heavenly Father as being both strong and powerful, but also tender and compassionate? Now, my challenge was, how do I build an entire sermon on this one passage? And I had some thoughts as how I could do this, but what I decided on was to speak about how I came across this verse and more broadly talk about how I like to read and study the Bible. Now, you'll notice that I did not say how to study the Bible because there's a lot of good ways to study the Bible. What I want to tell you about today is just how I like to do it. Now, before I do that, I want to ask you, have you ever noticed that there's some questions that we just do not ask people? Questions that are not polite, or maybe they're a bit nosy or judgmental. Things like, how old are you? Or how much do you weigh? Or, you look different. Did you get a nose job? And there's some questions that are just plain nobody's business, like, how much money do you make? Or how much did you pay for your house? Now, maybe you would ask these questions of a really good friend, but maybe not. There is, however, one question that we don't tend to ask each other, and it's a question that I think we should be asking each other. And that question is, how are you doing spiritually? Think about it. When has someone ever asked you that question? And is this a question that you ask the people in your life? How are you doing spiritually? Now, I think that maybe it's because we're all very polite people and we think the best of each other. And so we assume that everybody is fine. We assume that everyone here are strong believers and they're doing great spiritually. Could not be better. We see each other show up every Sunday morning and we know the words to all the songs. So we think that everybody is in great shape, spiritually speaking. But are we? Are you? How are you doing spiritually? And if the answer to this question is somewhere along the lines of, I could be better, then let me ask, are you spending quality time every day reading the Word of God? No, I ask this question not because I want to condemn you and lay a big, huge guilt trip on you, but because I genuinely care. The Bible is this big book containing many different writing styles. There is history, and there's poetry, there's prophecy, and there's letters. And maybe you started the year of 2025 on January 1st thinking, I am going to read through the whole Bible in 1 year, starting with Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And you made it through Genesis, no problem. You might have missed a day here or there, but it was no big deal because you were able to catch up. And then you moved on into Exodus, which wasn't quite as easy to read. It didn't have the same familiar stories that Genesis did, but it was not too bad. And then came Leviticus, and life got busy. And the words that you were reading weren't quite as easy to go through as the stories in Genesis were. And in fact, sometimes you even asked yourself, why should I care about this stuff, and how is it even relevant to me? And so you missed a day or two here and there, but this time you didn't catch up. And then one day, all of a sudden, you realize, you know, it's been a few weeks since I've read the Word, and your good intentions just died. Well, this has happened to me, and so I assume that it's happened to other people as well. So this morning, I want to tell you how I like to read and study the Bible. It's a way that I find meaningful, and it really helps me to understand and retain the words on the page. But before I do that, I want to answer the question of why. Why should we study the Bible for ourselves? Isn't coming to church week after week and listening to Brad's great wisdom enough? Well, I think that if I were to ask this question to each of you, there would be as many answers as there are people in this room. I put this question out on Facebook, and one person replied saying that she reads the Bible to feed her soul, which is a good answer. Another person wrote, to see how God is with his people through the good, the bad, and the ugly, which is another great answer. And my answer is, we should read and study the Bible because the Bible reveals the character of God. Think about this. God is the one who has existed for all of eternity. He spoke the world into existence, and then he created man out of dust. How is that even possible? And then he took the dust and he breathed life into it, creating a man. Seriously, how is that possible? But because he did this, we are all here. Our God is the one who parted the Red Sea so that the Israelites could cross through on dry land. Again, how is that possible? But he did it. And more than once, he has stopped rivers from flowing so that people could cross through. He is the one who has brought dead people back to life, showing his great power over even death and showing his great mercy. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there is none who is greater than him, and he has revealed himself to us in his book. Now, don't let the world define God for you, because the world will at times mislead you with statements that sound warm and fuzzy but aren't actually true. Like, God could not be everywhere, and so that's why he created mothers. Sounds really great, but it's completely not true. God can be everywhere, and God is everywhere. And there's times also where the world will not just try to mislead you, but it will outright try to deceive you about who God is, calling good evil and evil good. So don't fall for it. Go to the Word and let the Word tell you and show you who God actually is. Now, I read a story one time about a woman who was seated next to a man who was an expert in counterfeit currency. And the woman said to this expert, "You must spend a lot of time looking at counterfeit bills." And his reply was, "No, ma'am. I never study the counterfeit. I only spend my time studying the real thing." He thoroughly studies the real thing because then when he sees a counterfeit, he can spot it right away. And that's what happens when we spend quality time studying the Word of God. We can spot the counterfeit when we see it. Another reason that we should read the Bible is found in 2 Timothy, which says, "All scripture is God-breathed," now some translations say inspired by God, "and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." The Bible has been inspired by God, and Paul tells Timothy that reading scripture will teach us and train us to be the men and women that God wants us to be. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." Now, yesterday I opened up a Bible that I don't normally read, and I noticed that I had this bookmark in there that I had received from Focus on the Family some time ago, and it had Psalm 119:105, but a different translation, and it says, "Your word is like a lamp that shows me the way. It's like a light that guides me." So God's word shows us how to live, and it lights the path that we're walking on. And I've heard it said that the Bible is God's instruction manual for each of us. And that's true, but it's so much more. The Bible is an instruction manual combined with a love letter. It is a book of promises and hope, showing us who God is and what his plan is. His plan for each of us individually, but also his greater plan for all of humankind. And it is the greatest book that has ever been written. And so that is why we should study the Bible for ourselves. Now, did you know that there was a time when it was thought that ordinary people, people like you and me, should not read the Bible? To quote from Google, "The church was concerned that without proper guidance, people might misinterpret the Bible, leading to heresy or challenging church doctrines." So basically, the thought was that regular people were not smart enough to understand the words which had been divinely inspired, and we needed someone more educated to tell us what was what. Well, not everybody agreed with this idea, and there were some who risked their lives and in some cases even lost their lives so that ordinary people could read the Word of God for themselves. One of these men was William Tyndale, who translated the Bible from the original Greek and Hebrew texts into English. And he is quoted speaking to someone in church leadership, saying, "If God spares my life ere many years, I will cause the boy that driveth the plow to know more of Scripture than you do." And for his efforts to bring the word of God to the boy that driveth the plow, or in other words, the common man, the common woman, William Tyndale was executed. So the Bible's come to us at a great price. So to summarize everything to this point, the Bible was given to us by God. It reveals his character and how he wants us to live. It prepares us for life. It is a book that is meant to be read by all of us and not just the well-educated elite. It's meant to be read by ordinary people living ordinary lives. It's the inspired word of God for us all. Now, before I tell you how I read the Bible, I'd just like to answer the question of when. When is the best time to read the Bible? And the answer to that is, really, it's up to you. I don't think that there's any one particular time of day that's more spiritual than any other. So find a time that works for you and stick with it. Have a set routine as much as you can. For me, first thing in the morning is what works best. But when my children were preschoolers, I found that right after lunch, when they went down for their naps, was what worked. And there have been other times in my life where the evening worked best. What's important is that you have that consistent time where you're going to spend time in the Word. So set up that divine appointment. So here is how I like to study the Bible, and it's a really simple method. I like to physically mark the key words in a passage. And that's it. Just mark the key words. Now, some years ago, I was working for Samaritan's Purse, and all of the staff were given this book containing all of the Psalms and Proverbs, and they're organized in such a way so that you could read through the whole book in 1 month, which was Billy Graham's habit. And so I gave it a try. So you can see, like, you would turn and it would say like day 11, and it would give you, these are the Psalms you read, this is the proverb that you read on that day. And so I went through 1 month and I read through all the Psalms. And then the next month I went back to the beginning and started again and read through all of the Psalms again. Now, I've gone to church my entire life, but I've got to be honest, before then, I'd really not spent much time in the Psalms. I just really wasn't a poetry kind of person. So this was fairly new to me. And this practice of reading through all of the Psalms was good, except that I found that while I was reading every individual word on the page, and I knew what each word meant individually, I wasn't really grasping the larger meaning of each psalm. Does this ever happen to you? I knew that the psalms all kind of sounded sweet, and I knew that they were about God and what he was like and how he wants us to live, but somehow just that deeper meaning wasn't really sinking in. Now, I know that there's commentaries and devotional books that a person can read where someone else can tell you what they got out of a book or a passage, and these are good, but I wanted to discover for myself and learn for myself what the Word of God was actually saying before I looked at what anyone else had to say. And so here is what I did. I recognized that there were certain words that were repeated throughout the book of Psalms a lot. And so what I did each month was that I would choose one of these key words. And as I was reading through my five Psalms a day, I would just mark that individual word in a distinctive way. For example, the word trust appears in the Psalms a lot. So anytime I was reading my five Psalms, I would underline the word trust in a unique color and really notice. And now, the word trust doesn't appear in every single psalm, so there was some psalms where I'd read through the whole thing and trust wasn't there, but when it was there, I would mark it and notice what it said about trust. So in Psalm 9, for example, it says, "Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." So God, the one of whom there is none greater, does not forsake those who seek him. The one who knows us completely, all of our flaws, all of our imperfections, does not forsake us if we seek him. If we know him, we can trust him, and he will never forsake us. Just stopping and marking the word trust made me notice this word in a way that I had not when I was just reading through without marking anything. And it made my understanding of Psalm 9 so much deeper. So that's just an example of one of the grains of truth that jumped out at me when I slowed down looking for the specific word and marking it. Now, as I said before, this is a really simple method, but it made such a significant difference in how much I was absorbing each day. It slowed down my reading, making me notice things that I might have missed otherwise. The other thing that as I was going through marking that key word that I had chosen for the month, in the back of my head, I was also looking for what other words get used a lot in the book of Psalms, and what word do I want to mark next month when I'm going through the Psalms. And so month by month, I would mark a different word in its own unique way. Some of the words that I marked were life, which I colored in green, righteous, I colored in dark blue, rejoice was pink, and mercy was orange. Praise, I underlined in red, and unfailing love, I colored in pink and then underlined in purple. So every month was a new word, and every word was marked in its own unique way. Now, at this point, I'd like to go off on a little tangent and ask a few more of those uncomfortable questions that we don't tend to ask people. Have you ever done something in your life that you deeply regret? Or is there any sin in your life that you're struggling with right now? Is there anything in your life that if people knew about, they would not look at you in the same way? Is there anything that you feel utterly ashamed of? If there is, I invite you to go to the book of Psalms. Take a month to read through it and mark the word shame and see how God speaks to you. I think that you'll be encouraged. I think that you'll find healing if you take the time to do this. So please do so. So this method of marking each key word is simple, but it really made a difference in my comprehension and retention of what I read each day. And I invite you to try it. You can even go to BiblePlan.org and sign up for a reading plan, and they will email you which Psalms you're supposed to read that particular day. Now, if you know anything about the Psalms, you know that there's a few that are really long. And so this reading plan will divide up the Psalms, actually, so that you're reading approximately the same number of verses every day. Now, perhaps you're saying to yourself, my Bible is really special. It was super expensive, or maybe it was a gift, and there is no way I would ever write in it. Well, that's fine. Go to BibleGateway.com, find a version of the Bible that you like, and then print out the Book of Psalms and mark that copy. And if your preference is to read the Bible online, do the same thing. Get a physical copy that you can spend some time with paper and pencils and mark up that copy. There is so much value in actually interacting with the physical paper and pencils. You get more of your senses involved and things will just stick with you better. Now, if your habit is to listen to an audio Bible, maybe while you're doing something else like driving to work or doing household chores, stop. Well, actually, don't stop. You can keep doing that. But also, take 15 minutes a day and find some time where you can sit down with paper and pencils and use this method and see what the Holy Spirit reveals to you. Now, like I said, I use this method going through the Book of Psalms, but you can use it with any of the books of the Bible. This summer, I've been going through 1st and 2nd Timothy using this method. And what you can do is you can take one of the shorter books, like maybe one of Paul's letters, and then commit to reading that book every day for maybe 2 weeks or a whole month and mark the repeated words. The first time you read through it, if you're going through one of the letters, mark every reference to the author and see what you learn. Who wrote this book or letter? Why did he write the book or letter? What is he writing about? Where was he when he was writing? And then go through and mark every reference to the recipient and see what you learn. Was the letter written to a church or to an individual? What issues were they facing? Read through the book again and then mark any key words that appear in this book. And it's important that you mark the key words one at a time. So if, for example, there are 10 key words in a certain book, don't mark all 10 key words at once. Read through it once, just marking the first word, and then read through it again, marking the second word, and so on, so that you'll have gone through the book 10 times in total, and you will gain such a deeper understanding of that book. Now, for example, in Galatians, the word grace is used a lot. So read through Galatians, mark the word grace, and see what Paul, who was led by the Holy Spirit, has to say about grace. In the letter to the Philippians, rejoice is used repeatedly. So go and discover for yourself what is said about rejoicing. When should we rejoice? Why should we rejoice? Who should rejoice? Discovering for yourself what each book is about and discovering for yourself what God is saying is such a valuable experience. You will absorb things that you would not have had you just skimmed over that book, reading a passage once or maybe twice. And then, once you have thoroughly gone through a book, you can go to the commentaries and see what they have to say, and hopefully they will reinforce what you've already learned. Now, if you choose one of the shorter books, you can probably read through it in 10 or 15 minutes, so you could commit to reading that same book every day for an entire month, and you'll really get to know that book. And if you want to do a longer book, commit to a longer time period and read just a few chapters each day. And if you're totally stuck as to what the key words are in a certain book, well, just go to Google and ask. Ask Google, for example, what are the key words in the book of Ezekiel? And Google will tell you. Now, my final suggestion for how to read the Bible actually comes from my daughter, and that is pray. Pray that God would give you a hunger for his word. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. So pray for that holy spiritual craving for the word. Pray that the process of reading the Bible would be a joy and not just an obligation. I one time heard of a recovering alcoholic who said that his daily prayer was that God would give him a desire for God that was greater than his desire for alcohol. And I really like that. Now, I'm not an alcoholic, but I can be easily distracted. And so I pray that my desire for God would be greater than any other desire in my life, any other distraction in my world. And will you pray this with me? Pray for a desire to read and understand the word. Pray that God would speak to your heart as you read. So that's it. But now I'd like to go back to Psalm 36, where I began this morning. O Lord, you preserve both man and beast. How priceless is your unfailing love. Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. Now, unfailing love was one of the phrases that I noticed was used a lot when I was going through the book of Psalms. God's love for us is unfailing. There is none greater than our God, and he loves us with a love that is unfailing. And that is priceless. And those two expressions, priceless and unfailing love, when paired together, just really, really spoke to my heart. Nothing is worth more than God's love for us. And because he loves us, he preserves us. Remember that when difficult times come. God loves us and he preserves us. And when I see the phrase, both man and beast, along with the phrases, high and low among men, to me they speak to both the highest levels of creation all the way down to the lowest. And wherever we are in this spectrum, God loves us and he preserves us, and we can find refuge in the shadow of his wings. What a beautiful, comforting truth. So today, as we go our separate ways, I invite you to consider this method of Bible study. Begin with prayer, choose what you're going to read, and then notice what words get repeated, taking the time to mark them one at a time, and then see what you learn about the character of our God as a result, and you will be blessed.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting Our Church in the main menu, then Our Leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know his hope, know his purpose, and know his power together. As family, we go. Thank you.
Thank you.